tired, I'm worn, my heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail, my soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn.
Let me know the struggle ends. Hide. My faith is dead. I need a Welcome, everyone. You are listening to The Hope Show by Beverly today. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in today. It's such an honor and always a privilege to be with you right now, wherever you are listening in from. Today is going to be, what I hope it will be anyway, is an amazing message. Today's topic is going to be, if God is for you, then who can be against you? And while we are on that topic, we will also be talking about advancing your faith. Today's message promises to give you something to think about after the message and hopefully in the days to come. I've been going through this Bible study called Power in the Blood of Christ. The author of the book is Jennifer Kennedy Dean. If you have not had the privilege of reading this book yet, I strongly urge you to find it in your local bookstore or order it online at a Christian bookstore. This book is absolutely incredible, amazing. There just aren't any words to describe how wonderful and how knowledge-filled this book is. I've learned so much through this study so far, and I'm looking forward to learning much more as I continue my studies. Folks, the book was about $10, and it's probably one of the best $10 I've invested in something. If you are looking for a book that's going to take you to the next level in your Christian walk, then this is your book, folks. Again, the book's title is Power in the Blood of Christ, and the author is Jennifer Kennedy Dean. I'm only up to about week 4 in my studies, and I don't want to ruin this book for anyone if anyone wants to go out and purchase this book for themselves and read it and go through the study. But I do want to share a little bit of what I have learned. It has literally blown my mind. It's so deep and so profound. In sharing a little of this study, it will also tie into the question of my topic today. If God is for you, then who could be against you? And it will hopefully help you to advance in your faith as well. So here goes, folks. Hold on to your seats and buckle up, because this is going to be a great message today. What does the power of blood of Christ mean? Essentially, the very, very shortened version of that means that God first created the world. Then he created Adam, and from Adam's rib then formed Eve. These two were created without sin in the beginning. Then Eve talked Adam into eating from the forbidden tree because she listened to Satan. And then sin came into their lives. Their bodies became containers of death, the unlife. Thereafter, each of us were created in our mother's womb, born in flesh and sin, born as containers of death and filled with sin also. Then, God created his son, Jesus, for the sole purpose of winning victory over sin, victory over the flesh, being containers for death, and for bringing us back to God. Jesus was the bridge for us. Jesus was born of the womb of Mary. And from the moment Jesus was born, he too, in his new man flesh, bore the container of death. He faced every trial, tribulation, and temptation that we do today. He felt pain, joy, all the emotions that we feel today. But Jesus was without sin. He was flawless. Now that doesn't mean that when he came down to this earth and became like us in man flesh, he was not tempted, because he was tempted just as we are. But he remained without sin. He remained righteous. God gave his only begotten Son to us so that we may live through the shedding of his Son's blood, through the crucifixion and the resurrection. In John 3:16, the Bible tells us that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In John 14:6, the Bible goes on to tell us that Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So you see, Jesus was the bridge between us and the Father. If not for Jesus and the sacrifice made on the cross, we couldn't have come to the Father by ourselves. Our bodies are not built for that. The first Adam was supposed to have been the tree of life, but became the tree of death when he ate from the forbidden tree. In order for God to save us, he had to create a last Adam, or Jesus, to rescue us from the tree of death. Jesus, the last Adam, and I'll talk a little bit more about why I call him the last Adam a little bit later on, but for right now, bear with me. Jesus, the last Adam, which is what my book refers to, the study that I'm studying, became the tree of death when he took on the first Adam's sins and the sins of all of us. The cross became the tree of life for mankind. Jesus accepted the cross knowing it meant his physical death because he was and remained obedient to his Father to the very, very end. Without God's sacrifice of his only Son, we couldn't have bridged the gap to God by ourselves. But let me back it up some. I'm getting ahead of myself. In 1 John 1:7, it says, "The blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." Are you starting to see what I see? To purify something is an ongoing action. It's not just a one-time thing, folks. It's an ongoing action in our life. The blood shed of Jesus on the cross is a purifying and sustained, meaning that it's uninterrupted action that is always racing through our veins. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. God not only forgives us of our sins, but he also purifies us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for doing that. When you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, the blood of Jesus begins coursing through our veins. The blood makes you cleaner and cleaner each moment that passes. And if Jesus' blood is cleaning us in this fashion, then he must be near, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you believe that that would be correct? That he couldn't be very far away? Does the Spirit of God ever stir you? Are there times when you think you might know all there is to know, and then you lift the corner of something to peek under the surface of something, and you are so astounded to realize that the depth of your knowledge and understanding has barely even been tapped yet? Have you ever been tooling along in life and had a light bulb moment? Well, as I have been studying this book in the last several weeks, it's as if the veil has been lifted from my eyes. The light bulb has been turned on in my head. It was like another puzzle piece. You know, as you're reading your Bible and you're going to church and this and that, it's just like another puzzle piece. So folks, if you ever have the opportunity to read this book, oh my gosh, it will be such a blessing, and it will be such a transforming experience. I just encourage you to go out and find this book sometime very soon. Because, like I said, it turned a light bulb on in my head, and I understand things so much better now. I'm simply in awe of what I have been learning. My brain has been like a sponge, and it's just soaking up all this information. I want to share this verse from Hebrews 11:3. This is some incredible teaching today, folks. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Let me repeat that again. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Have you really thought about this verse before? Let me break this down for you a little bit. It goes like this. The universe, or the created world, the material creation, was formed, was fitted together, was arranged at God's command by means of God's voiced word, so that, cause and effect, God's speaking caused the material world to be. What is seen, the material creation, was not made out of, was not generated or caused, did not arise from, so it was not made of what was visible. Visible meaning the material components. Heaven is reality. It is invisible from our earthly eyes. Earth is in reality a shadow version, the replica version of heaven. But a world filled with sin, excuse me, it's a shadow version or a replica of heaven, but it is a world filled with sin and evil where none should be. God spoke, and that which was invisible, heaven, took on the visible form, earth. But because Adam and Eve first sinned, what we have here on earth is the fallout from eating from the forbidden tree. Adam and Eve were sinless and righteous in the beginning. Then upon eating the forbidden from the forbidden tree, they became sin, and everyone born after became sin through default. Therefore, we were born into sin through default from Adam and Eve. Thus, this place we call Earth is because of Adam and Eve first sinning. But wait! God created Jesus and sacrificed His only Son. Jesus lived on this earth for 33 years. God made Him in man flesh to take upon Himself all of our burdens and our sins, to suffer and experience all that we currently experience, just to be sacrificed on the tree of death, the cross. Shed out every ounce, folks, of His blood to pay for all of our sins, to be the bridge between God's people and God. So in sacrificing one, God saved many. Is that not a truly loving God, a truly loving Father, that He would sacrifice His only Son to save many? So I ask you this question. If God is for us, then who could ever be against us? If God so loved us to sacrifice His Son so that we may have and live an eternal life with Him, our Father, who could possibly be against us? The spiritual reality, world, or heaven, existed first. The spiritual world, reality, heaven, existed first. It had existed long before the material world was ever created. It already had a long history. Remember, Adam and Eve. Lucifer led his rebellion and had been barred from God's throne. all this happened before Earth's story was even put into motion, folks. All this drama set the stage for a redemption plan. When God created Earth, He created a material model of the spiritual reality, which was heaven. Earth reality was made out of the spiritual reality, but with a twist. Earth is something like a diorama, if you will, a scale-sized model of a landscape, that which is heaven. Earth is our visual for what we cannot see in heaven. No, not all the evil and sin of the earth, but the view. The view is what I'm talking about. That's the landscaping that is the replica of what is in heaven. So let me see if I can make that a little clearer. The spiritual realm, which is heaven, is eternal. The material realm, which is earth, is temporary. The spiritual realm is the substance, while the material realm is just the shadow. The spiritual realm is the reality, while the material realm is only the picture. All we see on earth is symbolic. Therefore, the blood that races through our veins is an earthly substance that God gave us to illustrate a spiritual reality. Earth blood is a copy or shadow of what true blood is in heaven. The life of a creature is in the blood. The life of every creature is its blood. Blood is life. Life is in the blood, folks. Everything it takes for our bodies to sustain life here on earth is in our blood cells. Things such as minerals, vitamins, nutrients, oxygen, all this is delivered through our bloodstream. It is a very complex, well thought out delivery system in our bodies. And without the system in place, we would die. There is no doubt about that. We would die because life is in the blood. Every 3 months, our body is totally renewed. All of our old blood cells are shed. They all die off, and new ones are given to us. Every 3 months, our body is renewed. Our life is renewed and made clean again with new blood. As blood flows through our body, it is purifying us of unrightness. Not unrighteousness, but it is purifying us from unrightness in our body. It's an ongoing, continuous, ceaseless action. It is cleaning our body of unrightness, of anything that would diminish our body's ability to not function to its optimum performance level. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for our life." So what does atonement mean exactly? It means to reconcile. To reconcile what? Our blood is meant to reconcile or save our life and be joined back together with our Heavenly Father to wash away all of our sins. Every creature, every human being has a biological life, but Jesus is spiritual life, the only eternal life. The only life that is not moving toward death. Ephesians 2:1 and 2:5. "As for you know, you were made dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world or the flesh, and the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are it's the very spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So I'm talking about the folks of the world, the people who are of the world, the people who are disobedient to God's word. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. Wow. This is so awesome, folks. I just want to put a blessing out there. I put a favor on you today, Lord. I pray that all of you out there listening, Lord, give them all favor and blessing today. Join with each and every one of them. Protect them. Lord, I just want to say this prayer right now for all of those who are listening. Our Lord, thou art in heaven, hallowed by your name. Give us your daily provisions. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive others. Lord, lead us not into temptation, and protect us from the evil one. Amen. But because his great love for us, God, rich in his mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead to transgression. In the spiritual realm, only Jesus is true life. Everything else is flesh, which is a progressive death. Flesh means progressive death in this world. In the spiritual realm, there is flesh and spirit. Spirit lives, but flesh dies. In order to change your classification from death to life, a person has to become a new creation. Therefore, he who believes in his Son will have life. Those who don't, won't. It's as simple as that, folks. He who hears and believes will have eternal life. This eternal life does not live apart from Christ. We are born with the first Adam life, the sin from the first Adam who ate from that forbidden tree, better known as human nature now, which is sin, diseased, and infected with unrighteousness. This Adam life, the first Adam life, carries death. But to those who believe in Christ, it gives new life, and death to self is an active working force that produces good fruit. When you believe in Christ and you are saved, then there's a new death that happens to us. A new death to our old self. And it's an active working force that produces good fruit. But that type of death leads to eternal life. Matthew 7:16-20 states, "By your fruit we will recognize you. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut away and thrown into the fire. Thus by their fruit you will know them." What kind of fruit do you bear, folks? What kind of fruit are you bearing right now? Is there anything we could do to do better, to be better, to make it better? In John 15:5, Jesus uses the earth visual of a vine and a branch to illustrate spiritual truth. I am cut off from the not life and grafted into life. I am the vine and you are the branch. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Yet apart from me, he will do nothing. Let me simplify something, folks. If he remains actually refers to if the graft takes. He implies that the branch has to be grafted into the vine, that it started out being attached to another source, but it has to be grafted into the good vine. I have been cut off from my old life and grafted into a new life. This means that we used to be attached to a non-life vine, and we become attached to the life vine through Jesus Christ. When the graft takes, the new life flows through your branches, flows through your veins. But the life has no life other than the vine life, folks. Whatever flows from that vine now flows through your branch. I find this message so fascinating and so encouraging. It is not my message, folks, but the message of God that has been given to me today to pass on to all of you. Someone in our listening audience needs this message today. Perhaps it's you. You know who you are. I am so into today's message, I hardly want to stop for a break. But I think it's about that time. And so after this break, we will pick up where we left off at. Hope you enjoy these tunes.
Around the world, hear the joyful sound. See the heavens open up, hear the music coming down. Nothing's gonna separate us from the Father's love. I can't help but celebrate, cause we're not alone. God is on our side. Who can it be against us? God is on our side.
The riverside and wash it all away. Leave behind your troubled mind on unclouded day. Nothing's gonna separate us from the Father's love. Can't help but celebrate because I'm not alone.
God is on our side. Can it be against us? God is on our side.
Hands together.
Mountains may fall and the
See.
Welcome back, listeners. If you are just tuning in, today's message has been pretty intense. I encourage you that if you have missed any part of today's show, that you will look the show up after my podcast, or my pod has been put up on my podcast page. It usually takes about an hour, maybe 2 hours at the very most. And so, anyway, after that's been uploaded, you can find that on my podcast page at www.shazizradio.com and listen to the entire message at your convenience. Or if you've already listened to it and you want to listen to it again, I mean, please be my guest. And if you like the show, feel free to rebroadcast on different networks or send a link to a friend. You know, just help me to get this important message out to all over the world, folks. And thank you for joining me today again. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here with you, wherever you are listening in from. Today is going to be what I hope to be an amazing message. I hope all of you, I hope it speaks to you. So today's topic is, if God is for you, then who can be against you? And while we're on that topic, we're also going to be talking about advancing your faith a little bit later in the show. So I just want to take a moment to recap. I've been going through this Bible study called Power in the Blood of Christ. The author of this book is Jennifer Kennedy Dean. If you have not heard of or had the privilege of reading this book yet, I strongly urge you to find it in your local bookstore or go online and order it at a Christian bookstore. Probably Amazon may have it too, I'm not sure. But this book, along with some other things that I've been studying for the past few weeks, has inspired today's message. As I said earlier, hold on to your seats and buckle up, folks, because we're going to be doing round two right now. We were talking about bearing good fruit or bad fruit before the break. Fruit always means an outer result of an inner work. The fruit on a branch always identifies what kind of vine it is. Thus, you will know a tree by its fruit. The life of Christ flowing through us creates the desires of Christ, which produces the will of Christ through us. So what is the significance of Jesus dying on the cross for us? Why did we need a Savior? The shedding of Jesus' blood has two roles for our salvation, two problem areas in our life. But Jesus' blood, the shedding of His blood, takes care of both of these problems in our life. And remember, God does two things. He forgives us of our sins and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross reconciled us to our Father. What does reconcile mean? It means you were brought back into a relationship with our Heavenly Father that alone we could not have done. Our salvation is an ongoing process. Do all of you know what being saved means? I'm sure all of you do. But I just want to recap what you already know. Being saved occurs to those who believe with all of their heart and soul that God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross, to pay for all of mankind's sins, and was resurrected on the third day. To be reconciled is a completed action, a finished work. So the blood of Jesus Christ plays a twofold role. A salvation has two components. Number one, what Christ did for us. And two, who Christ is in us. But to get back to the significance of Jesus' death on the cross, His death was bloody from beginning to ending, folks. I want to throw out a disclaimer right now, because before I go any further, because this next part of the show might get a little graphic. So, I'm going to go ahead and go on into it. While hanging from the cross, in the end, it is said that every last ounce of His blood was gone from His body. He literally bled to death. In the Bible, it states that there is a blood sacrifice from an animal. It costs a whole life, every last drop, to atone for life. The Bible uses such terms as poured out, dashed, thrown, and splashed. It hints to vigor, force, and violence. There were seven ways in which Jesus sacrificed his own blood for our atonement so that we could be reconciled with our Father. The first thing he did, he sweat drops of blood. Sweat drops of blood. It is my understanding that when a person is in so much pain that apparently tiny veins or vessels can erupt and you can actually sweat blood. Number two, they plucked out his beard and beat his face. This beating would have bruised his face and caused it to be swollen, painful, and even distorted. Isaiah 52:14 says, "Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured, beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness." Number three, they placed a crown of thorns on his head and beat his head. The thorns were not delicate little thorns, but long, fierce, spiked thorns, an inch or more long. The crown was not laid gently upon his head, but pressed down and forced on into his head. This would cut into numerous veins or arteries and would have caused extensive bleeding. Nerves that lie close to the surface in the cranial area would likely have been pierced, that would have caused unspeakable pain. And yet he was pierced for our transgressions, folks. The fourth thing, his back was scourged. His back and chest were flayed open. The blows delivered by soldiers with leather straps embedded with bits of iron and bone. His flesh broken open so that bones were actually visible, folks. His back and chest would have looked like raw meat, blood flowing profusely. Eventually, his organs would have been exposed as well. Are you getting a clearer picture for what God and Jesus done for us? Eventually, his organs would even have been exposed. "By his stripes I am healed, saved, and rescued." The amount of blood loss was considered as rivers of blood. Number five, his hands were pierced. Spikes were most likely driven through the wrist bone. The spike would have pierced a median nerve, which would have caused extreme pain to the arms, hands, and fingers. Number six, his feet were pierced. This spike would most likely have been driven into an ankle location. This would have severed a nerve in that region of his body, creating extreme pain from foot to hip and piercing yet another artery, folks. In the seventh way in which he died for us, his sides were pierced. He was already dead when he was pierced that final time for our transgressions. From that wound, probably a spear through his heart or his lungs, flowed the last of his blood and water. As his blood poured out for us from head to toe, his very life poured out in us. Seven times and in seven different ways, he shed his blood on this earth at the cross. He paid the full price for our sins. And just before he took his final breath on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." Christ in us is our hope of glory. When he died on the cross and you became saved and born again, you received that very blood transfusion, folks. So each and every day that you are alive on earth, your body, your blood, is being completely renewed and made righteous with Christ's blood. Jesus' blood washes you white as snow. All of our sins, of all of our sins and unrighteousness. While Jesus' blood is flowing through and in us, we are building up immunities to toxins such as sin. Our red blood cells absorb the toxins, transport them through the blood system to later be expelled from our body altogether. Our blood is continually being cleansed. Folks, I want you to sit quietly for a moment while I play you this song. Feel the blood of Jesus flowing through you right now when I play this song. Feel its cleansing power. Feel the energizing effects that His life flows through your thoughts, into your emotions, into your memories. Feel it. Feel it as it washes away the toxins of fear, guilt, anger, bitterness, and disappointment. Just sit quietly and listen to the words of this song.
The blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. The blood of Jesus, all my praise for this. the blood of Jesus.
Welcome back, listeners. So what came to your mind as you were reflecting, thinking, feeling, experiencing nothing but the blood of Jesus? It really moves me in a very profound way each time I think on it. I'm so very pleased that all of you are here with me today. It's such an honor to be with all of you, to share God's truth with you. I feel very honored that God qualified me to give this message to you. Today's message is, if God is for you, then who can be against you? And while we are on that topic, we will also be talking about advancing your faith a little bit later in the show. Before the song, we were talking about receiving Jesus Christ into your life. When you made him your personal Savior, his life replaced your death. When Jesus makes his home in you, he does not sit still, occupying only one location. Oh no, he flows through you like blood flows through your body. He runs through you like a river of living water, rearranging all your inner landscape. Doesn't that sound wonderful, folks? Doesn't that sound so glorious? Praise and glory be to God. His eternal life is always working in you day and night. It never stops. Don't you see? It's all about him. It's not about you. Not about you at all. Not about me. It's not about how good we are, how well behaved we are, how pure our motives are. It's all about him, our Heavenly Father. It's all about the power of Christ's blood flowing through us. So, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Your weakness is the perfect opportunity for his power to be on display. Have you ever thought about that? Think on that for a moment. Your weakness is the perfect opportunity for his power to be put on display, for all the glory and praise to be given to him. Just let the blood flow. Jesus is the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Because of all of this, in 1 John 5:11-15, the Bible states that this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Wow! What a blessed assurance! What an awesome, amazing, incredible, glorious promise from our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 12:2 reminds us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfect creator, the perfecter of our faith. Spend time in the moment each day, simply dwelling on Jesus. Behold his greatness with the eyes of your heart. Let your inner eyes be blinded by his glory. He has made you. He has made you, you folks, his home. Our body is his temple. He now lives in us. Let the reality of his presence settle on you and in you. Let him relieve you of all of your burdens, folks. Let us rest on him always and forever. Just let the blood of Jesus Christ flow in us. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Praise God that He is the great victor, the great conqueror, the great physician, the great healer, Father of all mankind and all creation. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Phew. Just as sin and death entered this world through one man, life and our freedom of transgression came also from one man. The first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam is the original Adam with Eve. The last Adam refers to Jesus Christ. For just as obedience came from one, or disobedience came from just one man, the first Adam, and then many were made sinners through that, also through the obedience of one man, the last Adam, or Jesus, many were made righteous. Many were made righteous. Where sin increased, the grace of God increased all the more. God's grace is sufficient. Praise God. Let's talk a little bit about what I keep calling the first Adam and the last Adam. Both had a body. And both bodies were specifically created and designed by God. First Adam was created by dust of the earth. And with the last Adam, Jesus, he was created by the power of the Holy Spirit. Both the first and last Adam had a human soul, mind, will, and emotions, through which emotions could come. The first Adam became sin, but the last Adam was flawless and without sin. The first Adam responded immediately to temptation, but the last Adam resisted all temptation, even to the point of shedding his blood for us on the cross. The first Adam was covered because of his sin, as meaning covered with the leaves and things that he got after he ate from the forbidden tree. But the last Adam was uncovered in the end, naked on the cross, flawless and righteous. While the first Adam tasted sin and it brought death to all of us, the last Adam tasted the death and brought us new life. They were both put on this earth, but for opposing reasons. The design for man in the beginning was that spirit would rule soul, and soul would rule body. But instead, the first Adam let his body and soul, his flesh, rule over his spirit. He became ruled by the flesh. As the last Adam, God assigned Jesus to come to earth and purify and perfect our flesh by keeping us aligned with the Spirit. In John 6:57, the Bible tells us that, just as the living Father sent me, meaning Jesus, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me, meaning Jesus, will live because of me. Boy, this is some great stuff, folks, isn't it? Wow. Praise God for giving me this message to give to you guys. Oh my goodness, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. And my hope is to pass that blessing on to each and every one of you. And that you would get something out of today's message. Anyway, I'm choking up. I hope I haven't lost anyone throughout this message. Jesus became the source of our eternal salvation for all of us who obey Him. Jesus was on this earth for 33 years. During this time, the Bible speaks of an unfolding purpose being worked out over a period of time. Unfolding purpose. Does that sound familiar? It's kind of like us, isn't it? God created us, put us on this earth. We're on this earth for a designated time. No one knows how long. No one's guaranteed tomorrow. But I, too, feel that we have an unfolding purpose being worked out over the period of time that we are here on this earth. The verse says in Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, although he was a son, he learned obedience, just as we do, from what he suffered, from what we suffer. Once he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal life. To perfect something means to bring it to final form. To perfect something means to bring it to final form. It means that just like Jesus, while he was on this earth, just like us, for all our flawed ways, we have to be completed, finalized, and finished through trials, tribulations, temptations, obedience, suffering in many ways. It is a continual work in progress, folks. We won't be completed, finalized, or finished until the day we die and have eternal life with God. It is a continual work in progress. But at the end, the goal is to hear our Heavenly Father say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Before Jesus came to earth, he was equal to God. But he chose to humble himself and become obedient to God. When he was born on this earth, he took on the likeness of man, the structure of man, body and soul. When this happened, Jesus took also all the limitations and needs of man. He took on the human nature, that which could be tempted. He temporarily emptied himself of his God nature that cannot be tempted. He did this why? For our eternal salvation. For our eternal salvation. For the way in which our salvation came to be, this was the only way that it could take place. The ultimate sacrifice. Jesus exposed himself to sin's power. Jesus overcame the power of sin by direct exposure to its poison. His body, our body, has the ability to produce immunity to toxins. So with Jesus' blood flowing through us, with our renewed life in Christ, as we are in direct exposure every day to the worldly toxins, we grow stronger immunity as our obedience to God increases. Isn't that an amazing thought? As with any illness that invades your body, your blood produces antibodies specifically designed to defeat the enemy. Once you've been exposed to that disease enough times, you become immune to it. For example, chickenpox. If you get a really, really bad case, you're not supposed to be able to get it again, even though I've heard cases of, but you are not supposed to be able to get it again. You are supposed to become immune to it and never get it again. Your body is not supposed to let you. Every every punishment that Jesus faced, every onslaught of evil, every time temptation came along, Jesus endured and overcame. Victory by victory, the antibodies against sin were being formed. Through direct exposure and more direct exposure, your salvation was being worked out in the blood of Jesus. Everything Jesus battled and pained over was for each and every single one of us on this earth. He took our punishment, all of us, on this earth, upon his own body, because he knew that we would be doomed to eternal death if he didn't. Our bodies aren't strong enough to survive what he survived and endured. It is said that in Hebrews 2:18, that because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. God responds to evil not by obliterating it, but by making evil itself serve a higher good. Now I want to take a look at soul and flesh. In Romans, those who live according to sinful nature have their mind set on what that natural nature desires. Let me say that again. Those who live according to sinful nature, or in flesh, have their mind set on that nature desires, or what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it ever do so. Those that are controlled by sinful nature cannot please God. We humans progress in developmental stages. We grow, we mature, we become stronger and wiser, and the grace of God is then upon us. Have you ever heard of the term wise blood? The term is sometimes used for blood that has immunity. For you see, the more times that you have been exposed to a particular sin or invader, the more times you overcome and come out victorious, the more resistant our bodies become to sin. Eventually, with obedience and hard work, we will become totally immune. That is our goal, at any rate. The invader or sin will no longer have a hold on us. It will no longer hold us in bondage. The thought of that holds me captive, holds me in awe of God's amazing grace and mercy in our life. What an awesome feeling it must be when you can get to that point, that level of maturity in your life, when you can say, I am merely a vessel. I have died to my old self, and in me, only Christ now lives. Only Christ now lives in me. Well done, good and faithful servant. So again, I ask you this question. With all the love of God freely given to us, a love that surpasses all understanding, if God is for us, then who could be against us? Prayer changes everything. Don't be anxious. God's grace is sufficient, folks. Remain calm. Remind yourself, in fact, repeat it after me. I am blessed, chosen, adopted, accepted, redeemed, and forgiven. Folks, repeat this after me. Repeat this and say this to yourself. I am blessed, chosen, adopted, accepted, redeemed, and forgiven. Don't let anyone's ignorance, hate, drama, negativity stop you from becoming the best person that you can be. Because only God can judge you. And God knows your heart and your every thought, deed, and action. Remember this. As long as you know God is for you, it doesn't matter whatsoever who is against you. Seriously, who really cares what others think when you've got God, when you've got Jesus in your life? Who cares what everybody else thinks? You are a child of God. Stand proud. Be bold. And don't listen to your enemies. They only want to persecute you because they're not happy with their own life. Some people just aren't happy unless they're making someone else miserable. But folks, be victorious. Be bold. Don't let the enemy win. You are so much better than that. Remember who you belong to. You are an heir of God. Let's take some inventory of our life right now. What do you have going for you today? What do you have going for you today? Well, how about this? The promise of the Scriptures, the prayers of God's people, many of those that you are even unaware, the intercession of your heavenly high priest, the presence of the Lord, the love of the Father, the grace of Jesus, the communion of the Holy Spirit, and the ministry of the heavenly angels. Really? And after hearing all of this, are you still going to stress over the enemy? Capable arms, you are most certainly in God's strong, great, capable arms. God will not let you down, nor forsake you. Everything else in this world that is trying to drag you down is just petty stuff. Petty stuff. Nothing in comparison to the greatness of God. When you think of it in that perspective, all our troubles seem like little, small, tiny grains of salt, so minute. Remember that God is on your side. I'm going to go ahead and take another very short break with one song. And when I return, I will be talking about advancing your faith.
Place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, place of the Most High.
secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. My God, in Him I will trust. A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him with long life. I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. My God, in Him I will trust. My God.
Welcome back, listeners. I sincerely hope you have been enjoying the Hope Show today. I believe it has been a pretty powerful message. I take none of the glory for it, though. Be all the praise and glory be given to God, for I, without Him, can do nothing. But through Him, all things are made possible. If you are just tuning in today, I hope you will go back and listen to the entire pod after it's been uploaded to my podcast page on www.shazizradio.com. Please help me to send this message out all over the world. It's very, very important. Today's message is, if God is for you, then who can be against you? And while we are on that topic, we are getting ready to start talking about advancing your faith as well. Today's message, I hope, has been something that has given you some thought and some encouragement. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and talk about the ways to advance your faith. Fellow brothers and sisters, salvation is a one-time deal, but the walk is continuous and forever. What is faith? Faith is the confident conviction that God will do what He promises He will do. The Christian walk is a walk of growth, an advancing walk that happens in developmental stages, in accordance with our maturity in God's Word. With faith, there will always be times that we will face our fears and overcome our obstacles. We will be given tests or trials to see how strong our faith is. These tests are perfectly designed, though, to fit our own individuality. He's not going to give us a test that we aren't made sufficient for. He's not going to give us somebody else's test, and vice versa. So these tests that He gives us in trials and tribulations are very specifically designed for us, to fit us. God uses us right where we are in our walk of faith. To advance our faith, one must understand the nature of God. We have to believe that God knows all. Don't question it, just believe. Have a little faith. You've obviously heard the saying, faith of a mustard seed, right? Sometimes that is all we have to give, and even that will take root and grow into something of splendor. If you want to advance your faith, you must meditate on the Word of God. It's a must. Mediate on the Word of God, the Bible. This, above all things, is essential to building faith. You simply cannot grow in faith if you leave out the Bible. God speaks to us through His Word. The Bible is the fuel for our faith. Then, you have to apply the principles of God's Word. There are some 30-plus principles in the Bible. But ask God to assist you in how to apply these principles to your life. Another good way to advance our faith is by observing God's ways. Sometimes God is silent. Sometimes He preserves us through suffering. Sometimes God shows us the way through various signs, or may use other people to get His point across, or even other circumstances, perhaps. We can also observe God's work in the lives of other people. We can rejoice in the ways we see God at work in someone else's life. We can see how God has worked out circumstances for the greater good of another individual. Sometimes it's easier to observe these blessings in someone else's life than it is the same blessings in our own life. Always obey God and leave the consequences to God. If God tells you to do something and you have your doubts that it will work out, well, don't doubt it. Don't question it. If God told you to do something, then step out in obedience. Take a leap of faith and let God worry about how the outcome will play out. If it's God's will, He won't fail you. He will be your parachute, bringing you to landing quite safely. This is faith in perfection, folks. God always honors obedience. Just trust in God. That's all that is required of you to do. Trust and obey. Answered prayers. Much like what I just said, prayer with boldness and expectation. Keep praying. Get off the ladder. Matter of fact, jump off the ladder. And have faith that God will catch you. Again, faith in perfection. Another way to advance your faith is through worship and singing. Who cares if you think you sound like a bellowing cow when you sing? It doesn't matter what you think, but to God's ears, it's the most beautiful sound He has ever heard. When you sing, you are confessing truth, and you grow more deeply in faith. I'm sure we have all experienced faith failures. And I will be the first to admit I've experienced more than my fair share of faith failures throughout my life. I am not proud of these moments, but they've happened. God knows your heart. Confess those faith failures. God already knows whether you confess or not. Nothing about our lives or what we have said or done comes as any great surprise to God. As a matter of fact, He already knew before you were born just what you would do. So go ahead. Be honest. Confess and ask for another opportunity. God is a God of opportunities. God will give it to you. Works without faith is empty. Faith with works is a mighty and powerful thing. Another way to advance your faith is to build a guardrail around your life. A guardrail is a system designed to keep things from veering off or straying from the course. Most of the time we ignore them unless we need them, but we should fully be on guard for the enemy. He is in waiting, constantly in waiting, to snare us up in his trap of lies and deceit. Every morning when you wake up, suit up with the full armor of God. Don't start your day unprepared. Guardrails' jobs are to direct and protect. Some of our greatest regrets could have been avoided if we had been better prepared, wearing the full armor of God. Guardrails are a standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. A standard of behavior is something you become so committed to that when you do something wrong, it sends out a danger warning sign to your brain. Your conscience is in tune with danger signs. Perhaps because of a personal experience from your past, that will ignite your conscience to do right and lead you to safety. So how do you keep your faith and advance it? How do you stay out of the ditches in your life? How do you keep your life between the lines? You be very, very careful in your walk. Tread softly and stay aware. Be very intentional and purposeful with your life. Pay close attention to what you do because the days are evil. And if you are not very careful, there will be a very high price to pay in some area of your life. Do not be foolish, reckless, or careless, but instead, understand what God says and understand His will for you. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and invite Shaziz to join me and ask him to give us some insight or some words of wisdom about today's topic.
Words of wisdom. I got words of wisdom.
Thank you, Shaziz, for joining me in the audience here on The Hope Show. So what do you have to say to our audience today? Words of wisdom.
Well, it's easy for me to believe in Jesus because of what I know. What I know in my mind and what I know in my heart. But for those out there who are atheists, non-believers, or whatever, you know, I can tell you exactly how to find faith if you give it a chance. There's a book out there called The Bible that everybody in this world's heard of, the Bible. They've all heard of it. There's two really important books in there that should be read. But when you go to reading these books, forget everything you've been told in school and forget everything you've been told by people, friends, and everything else. Just take yourself for a moment, step outside the box, and go sit down underneath a shade tree and read the book of Genesis and read the book of Revelations. Just those two books in their entirety. Read them. And just sit back and contemplate on it long enough. And listen to what God says that the relationship between man and God is, and listen to the things that are told in the form of vision, revelations, and compare that to what you see in society today, what you know from history, and what you feel in your heart. These two books, I can guarantee you, whether you're an atheist or not, you may come out the other side and still be a non-believer. But these two books will affect your life to such an extent where you will at least understand what it means to have faith. Because without faith, you know, you think about oxygen in the air, you know. You can't see it, but you know it's there because you're still alive. You know, who's to say we even need oxygen? But it's all faith. Whatever keeps us going, we believe and we take for granted that it's always going to be there. Just take my advice and just try it. Just, you know, humor me for a second, you know, and sit down, read the book of Revelations in the Bible. Before you read the book of Revelations, read the book of Genesis, the beginning and the end. I can sit down and I can read any book, any novel, and I can read the front piece of the book, and I can read the back of the book, and I can tell you what the story was all about just because I can step outside the box and I can and I can tell you from what I've ascertained from what I read how the story plays out, because I was told the beginning and the end, just like the Bible was told the beginning and the end. So for what I know, it's easy for me to believe in Jesus. It's easy for me to believe in God from the things that I've seen in my life and the trials and tribulations and seeing what everyone else goes through. The farther you get away from God, the sicker you get. You know, it's just that simple. And just try it. Just sit down sometime in a peaceful moment underneath a shade tree or in your lounge chair or whatever, in your recliner, in your bed, you know. Just sit down and just read Genesis out of the Bible and then read Revelations. And whether you're a believer or non-believer, and when it's all said and done, whether you're still a believer or a non-believer, you will be truly enlightened if you think outside the box and ignore everything that you've been told through all the history, you know, of school and people around you. You know, God exists, God doesn't exist, Jesus was a prophet, Jesus was a myth, or Jesus was a real person, or, you know, Jesus was the Messiah. Just sit down and read those two books. Whoever wrote those two books, and I believe it was a divine intervention through prophets throughout the history of time, but you make your own choice and you read that. Whoever wrote that was so insightful and put so much information in just two books alone in that book that it will literally change your life if you just try it. And to me, if you want to find even a smidgen of faith, if you want to even understand what faith is even remotely about, or how a Christian can say, you know, I believe wholeheartedly in God, I believe wholeheartedly in Jesus, you know, if you want to understand the other side from where you're standing right now, read those two books and read them with an open mind, read them outside the box and against everything that you've ever been told, and I guarantee you, faith will have a whole new meaning to you.
Thank you. That was great. But, you know, also, as I said before, you know, today's message was, if God is for you, who's against you? If you read the Bible and you study it, I mean, when you read everything that happens throughout that entire Bible, you're just like, there's no way. Well, there's no way you could possibly believe that God is against you.
What you just said is all said in Genesis. If you read the book, if you read it, it will tell you. If God's standing beside you, there ain't nothing that can stand against you, period. All you got to do is read it. And step outside the box and forget everything you've been told in your indoctrination schools or whatever. Just read it. Don't try to believe it. Don't try to... Just read it. Use your mind. And you're going to find something so deep inside yourself, even if you're a hardcore atheist and you could spit in the face of Jesus himself. Read it. You're going to find something in yourself that's going to change you for the rest of your life if you just read those two books, Genesis and Revelations.
Good advice. Very good advice.
That's all I got, my love. That's the best I can do.
That's more than enough. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I don't know how you can improve on that.
Well, I put my hand on the Bible before every Knights of the Round Table, and I said, God, please give me the words, because I'm not out to offend or harm anybody, and I'm not out to say the wrong thing. And it works for me, you know? We got people coming from all different nations coming together, and we're trying to make the world a better place. And part of that is your message, Beverly, is the faith.
Right, exactly.
And understanding faith, whether you're an atheist or a believer, is key to the whole deal.
And understanding that no matter what you're going through, trials, tribulations, joy, whatever you're going through, that God is there for you at all times. He is never against you.
Well, I noticed that we're running short on time, but before we do that, I want to point out something that, you know, God is there 24/7. We are literally living within the body of God Himself. And, you know, for those folks that say, oh, I can't see God, you know, well, because you can't step outside of God, because God is all that is, you know. No matter if you're a New Ager believer where you believe that we're from connected to the source and it's all universal or whatever, no matter how you believe it, you can't deny we are part of the system. And so we are within God, and we can't step outside of God, otherwise we perish forever in eternity. So, you know, with that said, God doesn't leave you, period. You know, and you don't leave God, no matter how you look at it, however you want to say it. We are gears in the cog of the machinery that is what we call life, and the trials and tribulations that we go through. I've said this to so many people before. They are what define who you are today. If me and Beverly hadn't went down the rough road that we went down, we wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now. We would be out getting liquored up and raising a ruckus and, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips and just having a blast with life like the average Joe, because we don't think there's any consequences to any action. And even in science, they say for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So if I punch somebody in the nose, By gosh, somebody's going to punch me in the nose, you know. Vice versa.
Very true.
Think about it.
Well, time is running short, folks, and it's about time for me to wrap this up. But I do want to mention the name of that book and the author again, in case anybody's interested. The book is about $10, roughly, online, and it's called The Power in the Blood of Christ. The author is Jennifer Kennedy Dean. So go check that out, folks. But as I said, time's running short, and I need to wrap up today's show for this week. And so I'd like to thank once again Shaziz, and thank all of you out there for listening, and above all, God, for making this show what it is, a message of hope and encouragement for all of you out there.
And on that last note, I want to say two things. First, I want everybody to go out, and I want them to look up a book called Diseases Don't Just Happen, because part of the problem in sickness is not understanding your chemistry. There's a book called Diseases Don't Just Happen. It's by Lorraine Davis or Lorraine Day. I just can't remember. My memory ain't that good. And just look it up. Because all the trials and tribulations you're going through there, first off, majority of it is self-initiated. You create your own pain and suffering and destiny. That's part of why I said go read Genesis. Read Genesis. Yeah, read Genesis and read Revelations, and I guarantee you tomorrow morning you will be a new man or a new woman if you step outside that box and don't listen to the world speak. You listen to your heart and your mind. Anyway, with that said, peace and love, and thanks, everybody. And thank you, Beverly, for having me on your show.
You're welcome. Until we meet again, same time, same place, next Saturday, God bless each and every one of you, and keep it snug in your heart that I love you too. I'm going to play us up out of here with a tune called The Old Rugged Cross.
We all got our crosses to bear, but together we can help.
Amen.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Cherish the old rugged cross. the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last die.